Mornings, David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
Love it, baby. 866-313-3733. Is the teacher right? Is America the most violent country in the world? Are we responsible for 7,000 Cuban terrorist actions? I'm not even sure where that came from. I wonder if he's referring to Guantanamo Bay, but that doesn't hold 7,000 people. There can't be even 7,000 people, including the guards down there. I wonder if he's reflecting on 1961 or something like this. And also, somebody else called in and said that he's a geography teacher. What's he doing explaining world politics or his view on world politics during a geography class? And I positioned, hey, well, how do you describe why borders exist and why boundaries and religions exist unless you discover or rediscover the wars that created that or the conflicts that created that. Even if you voted on something, that's a form of a conflict. That's how you arrive at why some people wear headgear and other people don't. Okay, we got somebody from Long Island here. Mike, number 10. Go ahead, Hutch. Roth Radio, you're talking to Roth. Mike, how are you today?
Hey, Big Dave. How are you,
bro? Good, brother. Go ahead.
Listen, here's the deal. Whether you're a teacher, a coach, or a guitar instructor, your personal views cannot be brought out to children or even 16-year-olds. When you're in a position of influence, you have to lead the horse to water, but you cannot drink it for him.
Okay, so how do you provide contrasting ponds of water for the horse so that the horse can make an informed decision?
Listen to what I'm saying. You know what? When you start any kind of discussion, whether it be political, religious, whatever, you start with the basic facts. If you want to skew something, if you want to view someone, we want to put Bush as the next Hitler, we're going to show Fahrenheit 9/11. We're going to bring up all the bad things that are going on. Or if you want to go the other way, you're going to show that side. As a teacher or an instructor, you have to give the view and then have your students come up with their own ideas.
Are you a teacher? Are you involved in education somehow?
I was in the military 4 years. I'm a soccer coach of young girls. So I have some viewpoints on yesterday's conversation.
And do politics ever come up during soccer practice? Seriously?
Sure, absolutely.
And do you share your views or do you encourage debate?
I encourage debate and I never share my views, okay? If I'm questioned what my thought process is, I let them come back to me with something.
I think that all truth arrives at your doorstop shaded by the personality of the person bringing it to you. Everybody always adds a little something or detracts a little bit of a something. And the worst case of that is somebody who serves up the truth like pizza, one little slice at a time, okay? I think that if an individual like that teacher is able to encourage the optional thinking, then I think it's okay. I don't know that it's possible to not share your views. You may think you're not, but you brought up, if you're a guitar teacher, how is it possible for a guitar teacher to teach somebody without sharing your views? This is a good musician. This is a mediocre musician. Here's the right way to train. Here's the improper way to train. Brian, is that a fact or am I wrong here? Go ahead.
Well, I had my own style of teaching. I didn't really talk about, I didn't get into that kind of stuff.
Okay, but when you recommend for somebody something to listen to, do you not use your own personal taste?
Actually, not really that much. I would teach them the basic scales, like the blues scale. These are the scales that are used. I would teach them that's like just the facts, ma'am, kind of stuff.
Oh, right? See, I would do a completely different curriculum. I would show them everything I love and everything I hate. And then I would encourage a constant discussion and an argument during every single lesson so that you were forced to come up with your own vision.
I would have 30 minutes.
I would pack that 30 minutes. Really?
I did. I made them some rhythm tracks, and I'd teach them how to play over them, and I'd have them bring in songs that they liked, and then I'd show them, and then I'd show them where those chord progressions came from.
And do you ever listen to that music and go, that's garbage, let me show you some great stuff?
A couple times, yeah.
Okay. See, you're shading it with your own vision, and that's what you're paid for as an instructor. Here's how you fly my way.
It wasn't the reason that I did it. It wasn't because I thought their stuff was garbage, but usually the stuff they brought me was way over their head, and I was trying to show them that they're not going to get there until they do this first. I was trying to show them from one as opposed to starting at 10.
Okay, well, right off the bat, instead of jumping into the deep end is what I think you're reflecting on, is I would only refer to somebody's volunteerance as garbage as a way of forcing them to have an opinion. If you don't think it's garbage, then freaking argue with me, because that's being a part of an artist as well. Defend your position. You think you really know your way around? Convince me. If you can convince me, you can convince the rest of the audience. I may walk out of here completely unconvinced, and you'll be even more convinced that you're a convincing artist, and you'll sell millions because of that. That's my job as an instructor, to force you to have a thought, to force you have an opinion. And when you finally get one, I'm going to challenge you again and again so that you are bomb-proof in your personal decisions. Big part and part of being an artist, yes or no?
Well, I have a question about that guy. He starts... You're talking about these, you know, contrasting opinions, but he just comes right out and says, America's the most violent nation in the world. I'm just trying to figure out where he started from to get to that point, or did he just go right to there?
I'm very interested in that, too, and in what tone did he, you know, present this here? We have a very poor-sounding audio tape of this, okay, because this comes off of a tape recording that a 16-year-old made at a Fish concert.
It's probably hidden in his pocket.
Exactly. It's the same process that they bootleg concerts with. He's just some kid in the back with a tape recorder held up high. We're going to listen to the teacher. Let's see if we, even if you can't understand some of the words that he's saying, listen for the tone. I've only heard this once, but let's hear what tone he's actually pitching to 16-year-olds with. Go for it, Hutch. Go ahead.
Who is probably the single most violent nation on planet Earth?
The
United States of America. And we're a democracy, quote unquote. Who has the most weapons of mass destruction in the world? The United States. Who is continuing to develop new weapons of mass destruction as we speak? The United States.
Okay, that right there is what I call a preacher's tone. He's using a I'm going to convince you tone. That's not a tone that you would especially speak to 16-year-olds with, expecting them to come back and reference an opinion to you.
Also, did you notice that every question he asked, you knew any kid in the class would have gone, us? us?
Well, that's called begging the question. You use your tone in legalese. That's called petitio principii. That's a litigating term, okay? It's the hidden principle. And you use your tone to show exactly what the right answer is. It's like in interviews when they go, don't you think that playing guitar is difficult? Instantly, they've already given you the answer. You know from the tone. Yeah. You know from the don't you think. He's using a preacher's tone. He says, who's the da-da? Ba-da-da-da-da-da-dum. That's a solid, convincing period at the end of the sentence. And a 16-year-old is going to raise his hand and tell Mr. Jones, I completely disagree with your psychotic ideas, dude. And then what? He's the teacher's
class. Then the class laughs at that kid.
Oh, exactly. Well, he sure does know how to get along with the teacher, huh? put the guy's tape on one more time here, Hutch, if you can. I want to hear that tone one more time. Because what he does is he answers it. He asks a question and then provides an answer, a specific, conclusive answer, and that's his opinion. I got a problem with this. Play it again. Go ahead.
Who is probably the single most violent nation on planet Earth?
The United States of America. And we're a democracy, quote unquote.
Who has the most weapons of mass destruction in the world?
The
United States. Who is continuing to develop new weapons of mass destruction as we speak? United States.
All right, put the track back on here. He's not teaching. He's not encouraging optional thinking. He's not providing contrasting views. He's preaching. He's going, hey, da 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 da. Well, here's the answer. One more question. Here's the next answer. And that kind of a tone, when you use it on most people, is going to silence them, especially in a crowd of folks where you're not sure if everybody else agrees with you. What do you think, Animal? Was that a preacher's tone or what?
Yeah, I think it was more like a politician tone, like he was want to run for something to get somebody to vote for him or something.
What is a preacher doing? He wants you to vote for Jesus, and then he wants you to vote for him.
And put it in that collection plate.
Exactly. And that's what that sounds like to me. Now I got a problem with the way he sent this up. That's a bad flag to send up here. 866-313-3733. Lucia, give me on Palm Beach, I think it is, where she West Palm Beach. Lucia, talk to me. What do you think?
Good morning. I missed you while you were gone.
I missed you deeply, Lucia. What do you think of this?
Okay. I got to tell you, the guy sounds very reminiscent of Sam Kinison in Back to School. He may have very well thrown something at any kid that had an opposing view there, really.
And that was a hilarious moment when Sam Kinison turns to Rodney Dangerfield and starts humping the Vietnamese politics like that.
Yes, that's the first thing it made me think of when I heard your playback. And I'm absolutely not opposed to challenging the kid. I think that he would have been much better off to give them some good resources to go look for some, set them up for a debate day. I want to hear what you think. But it's not his place to feed them their thoughts. It's his place to challenge their thoughts and to pull them out.
Okay, I'm going to agree with that. And I think that he could have said the exact same things in a really academic way, as opposed to preaching and demanding that others ascribe. That's called a command voice. That's what the police use on you when you absolutely have to come to a stop.
You're exactly right. In all honesty, I mean, that's not teaching kids to think for themselves. That's him pushing his agenda.
That's him indoctrinating the kids.
Yeah.
But I believe that he could have said the exact same sentences. Don't change a single syllable.
Right.
But by using the tone and presenting it as questions for debate, I would position it like this. America...
What are the kids saying? What are the kids' answers to those things? You'd be surprised. 16-year-olds do have opinions, and they're not all stupid. And you can pull kids into debate discussions easier than a lecture any day.
Stop right there. Do you think the parents would have supported that if Junior or Junioress, Little Princess, comes home at the age of 16 and says, I'm supposed to debate day after tomorrow whether America is the most violent country on earth? What do you think the parents would say?
As a parent, I have to tell you.
No, not you, Lucia, not you. You're talking to Roth Radio. That means you're clever, grounded, well-rounded, diverse, intelligent, and sexy. I'm talking about everybody else who's not listening. What would they do if their kid showed up and said, hey, I got to talk about whether or not the president is like Hitler?
I think a good 30% of them would absolutely freak out because they don't want their children to be talking about anything ugly or controversial. I think there are a good percentage of parents out there who want their kids to be free, good thinkers, who want them to use their head and have their own opinions and exercise their right to say them.
I used to go to Mad Magazine for this kind of stuff. This was the best place. This is where I learned to punch holes in facade. This is where I learned to detect people faking me out. This is where I learned to examine people who are selling me something. This is where I learned how to determine if somebody is trying to sell me something over and over again. This exact subject could have been dealt with word for word and propositioned the young same way in Mad Magazine, depending on the tone. We talked to a fellow, Kevin Wilmot, yesterday, who did the Confederate States of America, and he starts his movie with a really interesting quote from George Bernard Shaw. It says, people hate the truth unless you sugarcoat it and make it digestible, because if you don't, they're going to kill you. I think, again, maybe this guy just used bad show business. Maybe his intent was legit, but that, in fact, he just, again, bad show biz. His wrong tone of voice, wrong way of presenting something that would probably be healthy if presented otherwise. Do you agree or disagree?
Absolutely. I think that he, you know, borders on a little bit of the evangelist kind of sound, you know, like trying to train something in these kids' head. And I think that they... Although they're old enough to have opinions and have those discussions, I think that they still are impressionable. I think that it is a teacher's job to present facts and encourage thought.
I want to get this teacher on the air. I want to get him on the telephone or something. Would you be curious to hear what he says, or have you already made a decision?
Absolutely. I wonder if he would be as open to calls as he should be.
Well, this is David Lee's Tiki Bunker, where the debris meets the sea. We never get the well ones down here, which is just the way we like it. We're going to reach out to him. Thanks for giving us a call. 866-313-3733. Karen, go ahead. Get on the phone. Karen, Roth Radio. You're talking to Dero. Get it.
Hi, David.
Karen.
Hi, this is Karen Alexander. First of all, big fan, all that stuff. I just saw the gentleman on the Today Show a few minutes ago.
Wait a minute. Stop right there. This is not a gentleman. What I saw looked like a surf kid to me.
Well, basically, yeah, he did.
How old does that guy look to you, really?
He looked about 27, 28.
Barely. And he's got kind of longish hair, and he looks like he grew up on a diet of Kurt Cobain and Alice in Chains and everything. Okay. So we got to be careful when we talk about a teacher, because you think of somebody who may look like Tom Gisano. Okay? Seriously. This looks to me like a kid who grew up with a surfboard under one arm and an Alice in Chains album in the other. Excuse me, an Alice in Chains CD. I just dated myself here. But go ahead. You had a thought and I got in the way of it. Share.
No, that's fine. First of all, his head was shaved, but they kept showing the picture of him with his long hair. They played back the tape of him talking in the classroom, and then after that, they played back the tape of the future part of the tape saying that he This was not his opinion. This was just something he was throwing out there for them to discuss, to take home to their parents and talk to them about it.
Yeah. And Justin Timberlake didn't mean to pull the brassiere down, and he's having his, you know, he's having his regrets and whatever here.
Yeah, and well, and they also furthered it by saying that the parents of the student said that they did not want to get this man fired. They said that and he would welcome the kid back in his class if he got.
You hear the tone you're using, and everybody's going like this, and we're all going to make nice, and we're all going to. I refuse to let it die. I think that he had a point, but that he completely misaddressed it, and I want to hear if he's going to use that command voice on my radio show. Thanks for calling, baby.
Yeah.
Mornings, David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
David Lee Roth, Niyokoso. 朝一番に六時のロス。いつも同じ。Welcome to David Lee Roth. First thing in the morning, Roth, 6 a.m. Very consistent.
And don't forget, very consistently. Tom Colicchio is the owner and the chef of Gramercy Tavern and the Craft Restaurant. He's going to be on the phone here in about 20-25 minutes. And he is the main chef and judge on the new Bravo Channel reality show, Top Chef. That's Tom Colicchio. He's going to be our guest on the phone here in about 20 minutes. But we're going to cook up something a little hotter here. Hit it, baby. Young up front there playing live track blasting there. How you feeling today, B. Young? Yo. Oh. Looking good over there. How you feeling, B. Young? Love train ain't pulling over this morning. B. Young, how do you feel there? All right, let's take a call. 866-313-3733. Is America the most violent country in the world? Is this the most violent radio show available today? We'd like to think so. Hit the number. Roth Radio. D-Row, you're on. Go ahead, friend. I think we took him by surprise. Did he actually fall dead?
No, Jen.
He fell.
Jen, are you there, Jen?
He's there.
Yes, I am here. I'm sorry.
No problem, friend. What do you think about the subject at hand here? Should this teacher have comported all of these political ideas to 16-year-olds, or should he have just taught geography in a clean, hygienic, military fashion? What's your thought?
Well, where I agree with you is that his tone was very preacher-like. I think he, you know, he obviously that is his viewpoint. But you're also playing the whole tape, and I really feel like this guy's kind of a bad rap. I saw the same Today Show report that woman called about before, and first of all, they're showing a picture of this guy from like 20 years ago in college, and he totally looks like a hippie. You know, he doesn't look anything like that now, and I would say he's probably in his mid-30s.
Okay, that's an interesting comment, because all that I saw was that old tape of him, and he looks like a kid to me. You're saying that he doesn't look like that anymore, and
no,
he's updated his stuff.
Not. He was with a shirt and tie. He's balding and obviously shaved his head.
Okay, did he do that now that he's in the spotlight and he's got to go in front of Judge Judy, so to speak?
I don't know. I really, you know, interesting to note, I feel that what they were reporting on the Today Show is that this child tape recorded him, went home to his parents. His parents did not go to the school board with their concerns. However, they shopped around with conservative media sources. And that's where they went with the story. And
okay,
then,
well, stop
know,
right there. So you stop right there. I want to understand explicitly what you're saying, is that they didn't go to the school board. They went to the newspaper?
That is what they were reporting on the Today Show, yeah.
Ah, so already there's a suspicious agenda involved. Instead
Absolutely.
Of normal action, they decided to head for the spotlight.
Absolutely.
I knew it. I know nothing about civics. I know nothing about government. But, man, do I recognize mediocre showbiz when I see it. Sorry, that was in honor of mediocre showbiz. Please continue.
I know that earlier you commented that somebody told you he teaches geography. What he said on the Today Show is that he's a social studies teacher. He just happened to be teaching the topic of Introduction to World Geography.
Oh, come on. I can make a case as a litigating attorney. I am a sort of a junior litigating attorney. I watch a lot of court TV, and I feel that, I'm going to try the case right here. I could make a case that says Playboy magazine is actually discussing geography, right?
All right, point taken.
But it's a different form of geography, but I teach a different form of truth.
Right.
Hey, I'm good, huh? So what do you think? Should he have said this material or not? Yes or no?
Well, I don't know if you guys have the remaining part of the tape on there as well. Like I said, I agree that he does have kind of a preacher. He makes a comment later on in the tape that says, I am not telling you to agree with me. I don't even know that I'm taking this position. I just want you guys to really have an open mind and think about the similarities. That's when the whole Hitler thing came up.
And that's what he said during the class or after he wound up in the spotlight, dear?
That is on the same tape from what that child tape recorded.
Ah, very interesting. Okay, yeah. The plot unthickens a little bit here. I'd be very curious to hear that tape.
Yeah.
Because if he actually created an explanation, then I think he was right on the money. I think he's deadly accurate in causing people to think, because no, you're not going to get it from the family, and you're sure not going to get it off the internet. The only thing you're going to do on the internet is talk to your friends and watch porno, and probably not even in that order.
Right.
Turn up the
right.
music. Come on, man. All right, turn it down. I think she had another point. Go ahead, sweetie.
No, I'm all done. I just really feel like, you know, it's interesting, the little spin that's been put on this. And you know, they go to a conservative media outlet, and the next thing you know, there's a hippie picture of this guy from, like, 20 years ago.
Good point. I didn't think of that either.
It's painting a picture. I really feel like there's a conservative spin being put on this.
It's not painting a picture. In litigating circles, it's called building your case. Thank you for giving us a call here. Interesting revelation. Well, let's build a case, baby. Yeah. Okay, who else looks interesting up there? Somebody else wants to stick up for the teacher. Give him number 8. Give him number 8 one time there. Roth Radio, you're talking to David Lee, my friend. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, man?
Go ahead. What do you think on the subject here?
Hello?
Hello, you're on. Go ahead.
No, I'd like to make a point about that whole Hitler and George Bush thing.
Please.
If you think about this, if you think about Hitler, what do you think of? You think of some lunatic who killed a bunch of Jews, right?
Certainly.
And whoever. Now, check this out. If you look at a $20 bill, there's Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill. Who's Andrew Jackson, the United States president? Also, an Indian hater who killed hundreds and thousands and millions of Indians. You ever read any books about Indian history? The nation was founded on violence. We came in, we found a country, we murdered everything that didn't agree with us, and said, well, you don't believe in our God, so we're going to kill you. And we're doing it all over the world now, with the Middle East, with all these different little countries here and there that we just decide to go in and kick the crap out of because we can. You know, it's just...
Now you sound like you're positioning a debate here. Do you think that teacher was acceptable in positioning himself as you are speaking currently?
Totally, because I heard it. I heard the tape, and the guy said straight out, "It's just my opinion," and everyone under the Constitution is entitled to their opinion. If I want to tattoo a swastika to the back of my head and scream at the top of my lungs racial slurs, then that's my God-given right as an American.
No, it is not. No, it is not. You are not allowed. Sorry, my friend, you are not allowed to stand up in a full movie theater and start screaming about, oh, there's fire. You are not allowed to point your ugly little finger at little kids and make them feel bad. You want to point it at mommy and daddy, then you go ahead for it, okay? But there is a limit to free speech. I don't think it extends to civics, to government, to boundaries, or religious, or whatever. But if you're going to start, you know, pointing, and you're going to start making people silent with your tone, then I have a real problem with that. And what you're saying here, I may actually agree with a number of the things that you're saying, but you're defining it as absolute, okay? And no 16-year-old is going to stand up to somebody like you. You sound like a very bright, very intelligent, clever individual. So does that teacher. There is no 16-year-old who's going to stand up and raise their hand in the back of the class and contest it like an adult would. And without that adult opinion, I got to wonder if this guy just conned them with a command voice and forced them to think and then sent them out in the world, knowing the parents are never going to deal with this.
Yeah. Hey, what if a teacher just said, tattooed a swastika on his head and said, kill the Jews? Oh, I'm a teacher. That's my opinion.
No, he wouldn't even put kill the Jews. It would be, I have the right to put on a Hopi Indian sign. And you would recharacterize it that way. My friend, what do you think of what I'm saying? Feel free to disagree.
I think that you're right to a point. I wasn't saying that that's what, I'm not saying I agree with it. I mean, you know, everyone has their hang-ups on who they like and don't like, and that's life. All I'm saying is a guy can say what he wants to say to a point. And he wasn't saying, you know, George Bush is Hitler and George Bush is this and he's, you know, a bad, bad man. He just was stating his opinion. He wasn't coming across like some kind of, like, you know, belligerent jackass who was just sitting there trying to make these kids scared into thinking what he was thinking. He was stating a point.
Stating a point. He was a belligerent jackass with a preaching command voice that's designed to comment and then silence that audience, just like I just used on you. Now I'm going to calm myself down and go ahead. I will give you the space. You hear the difference in the tone?
You can silence it because you're on the radio. I'm on some crappy cell phone. If we were debating face-to-face, I could tell you what I would think, and you wouldn't be able to silence it because I wouldn't give you that opportunity.
Well, then it's no longer a debate. Then it's no longer a debate, and then you're behaving exactly like that teacher. You're using a command voice to shout me down and silence me, which would be a lot easier to do to a 16-year-old than me.
First of all, I'm not a teacher. Actually, I do teach. I teach martial arts in the classroom, and I actually have a very good rapport with kids, and I know how to teach people. I didn't hear anything that guy said that was, you know, like sounding like he was like trying to tell people this is the way it is. He said what he said, and then said you don't have to agree with me. I mean, look at everything that's happened since George Bush has been in power. He's trying to finish his daddy's work. All those kids are over there getting their faces blown off. Women are getting raped by Middle Eastern wackadoos who are so into God, but then rape and butcher, you know, innocent people.
I think you might have drifted off the focus here a little bit.
Is he comparing George Bush to Hitler? He's opened a can of worms. He cut the head off the snake, and what's growing back is something 100 times worse. You know, that's what I'm saying. The guy is just making a statement. He's comparing, you know, a guy who's going on a rant trying to, like, kick the crap out of a third world nation who is not really letting us kick their ass.
Okay, well, you're talking about the content of what he was talking, what he was speaking of. I'm talking about his presentation, and I think he's guilty of one thing, mediocre showbiz. If he had done it properly, then he could respond to every single syllable he said. He wouldn't have to change a word in any of the sentences that he said, but you got to sugarcoat it to a degree so that everybody in the room can digest equally and then examine the options equally. Do you agree or disagree?
I totally agree. You can't stand in front of a bunch of kids and talk to them like you're talking to an adult. You have to always, you know, talk to them in a certain level and explain yourself and over-explain yourself to the point of being redundant so they understand exactly what you're saying.
I have found that not only do I agree with you, but I have to talk to adults the same way. Thanks for calling.
Mornings, David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
שימו לב, שימו לב. ברוכים הבאים לקלאב דייב. פה יורד גשם רק כשאנחנו אומרים. Your attention, please. Welcome to Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so.
Roth Radio. I've got a very, very special guest here on the phone. His name is Tom Colicchio. He's the owner and the chef of the Gramercy Tavern. He's also the craft restaurant face. He's the guy in New York City, and he's also the face that you know from the Bravo Channel reality show, Top Chef. Tom, how are you today?
Good, Dave. How you doing?
Extraordinary. Did you wake up or stay up for this?
No, I'm just waking up.
What time does a professional chef actually wake up in the day? Time do you usually start?
I usually get up around 7:30 in the morning, only because I like to get, you know, pack a bunch of stuff in the morning before I go off to work.
Outstanding. Tom, how old are you?
43.
Okay. How long have you been a chef?
25 years.
Wow. Okay. So you made the commitment early in life. When did you first, what was the very first thing that you cooked up? That's probably a bad word. What was the first thing that you ever chefed up that convinced you that this was going to be a calling for you? How old were you and what was it you were cooking?
Funny story. When I was about 13 years old, I decided to cook dinner for my family. And so I got this magazine. It's called Cuisine Magazine. And I'm going through it and I found a dish. It was a stuffed eggplant and it was stuffed with some shrimp and stuff. It was like a Cajun dish. And so I make the dish and I bring it to the table, and without really reading through the recipe, because I'm sure I had ADD and I was all over the place, I didn't realize it was an appetizer. So I put it on the table and my family was like, okay, where's the rest of the meal? So at that point, I realized I enjoyed cooking, but I realized I had a lot to learn.
No, that was the first time you explained what nouvelle cuisine was.
Exactly.
to a dubious client. You don't understand, Mom. I've gone postmodern. Now shut up and eat your dinner.
Right.
You know, I've actually burned water. Did you know that's possible to do?
Burned water. That's a tough one.
No, it's not tough. Up at 23,000 feet at the Himalayas, there is no oxygen up there. And we were putting snow in the buckets to melt it underneath the stove. Mm-hmm. And because the fire burns at a different temperature, it takes twice as long. I waited six times as long, and I actually burned the snow. I'd like to show you how to do that. Burnt water may actually be an item at some point. What's the most popular three things that people are ordering up in your restaurants today?
Three most popular things. Well, you know, beef is always popular, remains popular.
Pizza.
Pizza. I don't serve pizza.
Okay.
Sorry. But in my restaurant, I would say probably salmon, beef, chicken.
Okay, and in terms of beef, do you see that folks are dwindling away from red meat, or is this becoming popular again? You have so many different kinds of diets, right? What diets are you seeing represented in high-end diners? Are a lot of people still ordering red meat?
Yeah, tons of people are. In fact, I own, besides Gramercy and Kraft, I own a steakhouse called Kraft Steak in Las Vegas, and we're opening here in New York at the end of April.
Uh-huh.
And it is just nonstop there. So people are still ordering red meat.
Red meat. That's why we're going to win this war, Tom.
That's it.
It's a joke. Anyway, tell me about your new show on the Bravo channel. Tell us what you're doing.
It's a reality-based contestant show. It starts off with 12 chefs, and there's a short challenge and a long challenge in each episode.
Wait, stop right there. What's the short and long challenge? Talk to me.
Some of the short challenges...
because it's like the massage parlor, short time, long time?
Exactly, yeah. Right. First short challenge, the contestants have to try to spend a half an hour working in the line in the kitchen that they haven't seen before. And they get up to a half an hour. If they can't spend, you know, if they make mistakes, whatever, they get sort of tossed off the line.
And explain what happens in that line. You know, as they line up at that deck, let's call it, what are they going to experience that's going to be challenging?
Well, they're going to be asked to, you know, either cook certain things or plate up certain dishes, you know, handle different types of food, and they just have to sort of think on their feet. You know, during service in the kitchen, there's a lot of pressure, and it's really fast-paced, and to throw someone in there that, if they're not familiar with the food, it's definitely a difficult challenge.
So they're going to be unfamiliar with the varying ingredients.
Yes.
Will it be like on Iron Chef, the greatest disaster moment, when the guy goes, and the miracle ingredient for today is?
No.
Broccoli!
This is reality. No, actually, it's a working kitchen in San Francisco called Fleur de Lis.
So you're not gonna dump broccoli on any unsuspecting young cuisinier, huh?
No, not this episode anyway.
Who's gonna be the Simon Cowell part? Because that's what we watch for. I'm convinced that we watch NASCAR for the crash, not the winner. Okay.
No.
Do you have somebody who's going to play that part on the show, the Omarosa part in the judging?
I'm sort of the head judge and mentor to the young contestants. I'm a little nicer than that Simon character. Although I haven't seen that show, so I don't know what he's like.
What's your favorite junk food?
Favorite junk food, licorice.
Oh wow, that's great. Black or red?
There's no such thing as red. Come on, it's all black. That red stuff is candy. Black licorice is black.
Plus, you know what? This is the Roth Show, so I can, you know, share this with you. If you get the long red ropes and you put six of them together, then you can knot them at the end, and you can have fun with your girlfriend later. And when they're all done, you can eat it together to show that everything's okay again.
I'll try that.
Are you a well-rounded chef? Do you do pastry and barbecue and everything in between, or are you a specialist, Tom?
No. I mean, it's sort of, I specialize in what I call contemporary American, you know, cuisine or food. But you know, when I'm home, I'll try anything and do anything. But in the restaurants, it's more specialized.
Does barbecue qualify as an art form in your estimation?
Barbecue is. I love barbecue. In fact, I was asked to judge the Jack Daniel's barbecue contest the last 2 years in a row, and both years I've had a conflict and I couldn't do it. But no, I absolutely love barbecue.
Because, you know, you're seeing now on television every kind of show, or at least on the Food Channel, that specializes. And I spend most of my time, I put on the TV set like it's wallpaper. I never put the sound on.
Mm-hmm.
And either I watch the Fashion Channel, because you've got all those great-looking girls walking towards the camera 24 hours a day, and I feel like the doorman at the best club downtown. And then I switch to the Food Channel to watch everything that I can no longer eat.
You know, it's all in moderation.
No, nothing in moderation. That's the problem.
Yes, but it happens when you get older. Then you have to do it in moderation.
Okay, let me share with you an idea here. It'll take me 30 seconds to explain it, and then we'll listen to you at length. When we teach martial arts or even music to young people, one of the analogies that I make, if I'm teaching somebody something, let's just say it was music, I would say, if you want to learn the guitar, then think of it like a chef. There are two kinds of chef, perhaps. There's the grandfather, the Italian grandfather, who's been making the exact same sauce for 40 years. Every second Tuesday of the month, there's a huge family reunion. You know that there's many families here on the East Coast who do this. They all get together, and for many years, they've always said that grandfather's sauce, his gravy, was what held the family together, okay? That's one kind of chef. And then there's a kind of chef, again, when I was in the Himalayas, my buddy Wang Chu, he was a Sherpa. Wang Chu spelled his name four different ways. I saw it on the visa, the climbing permit, the passport, and when he cooked the same way. Somehow, with a fistful of flour, two eggs, some chicken wire, and some yak butter, he could make pancakes in seven different languages, definably. Which one's the better chef, Tom?
It's funny. I wrote a book called Think Like a Chef, and I actually used a music analogy in that book, and I think you teach people the basics and then let them just kind of run with it. There's definitely a place for the tried and true, but I think the better chef is someone who's going to sort of jump off from that point and do a lot of different things. I mean, there's 12 musical notes, and look at the amount of music that was, you know, written and we have. I think it's the same thing with food. There's a few techniques that you need to learn. Once you learn those techniques, then you can do a bunch of different things.
That's an interesting comment. Also, I see a similarity between what we do in music and what you do as an artist as well. I'm talking to Tom Colicchio. He's the owner and the chef of the Gramercy Tavern and the Craft Restaurant, and he's the main face on the Bravo Channel reality show Top Chef. Tom, in terms of when we make a song, we're always looking for the hit. Yeah, you don't write a hit, but as you are serving up 12 songs on a record, you go, which one's going to be the most popular? You always want one to stand out there. And when you do it, when you finally become the lucky guy who writes, I can't get no satisfaction, or like Beethoven, finally you get a hit, da-da-da-da, or whoever, then you play that song almost religiously for the rest of the career. Because
you gotta get tired of it.
That's what people want. Whether you're Jimmy Buffett doing Margaritaville, or David Lee doing Might As Well Jump, or whatever, you don't change the words to My Country Tis of Purple Mountains, okay? Do you experience that as a chef? You invent a hit back behind the scenes, and now you have to recreate that exactly, especially for routine customers, how many thousands of times? Is that a frustration or a joyous celebration of finally we made it?
You know, it starts out, and I'm sure you've experienced this, it starts out as a joyous celebration, and before you know it, it's tedium, you know? And you have to do it day in and day out. What I try to do is every year, you know, I have a repertoire of dishes, and every year I try to dust them off and you know, every season and see if we can change things and just, you know, subtly change the things. And I'm sure in the live performance you did the same thing. Every now and then it's just a little different.
How much of being a chef is showbiz?
Nowadays, a good amount of it. You know, 25 years ago when I started, it wasn't at all.
Do you speak Spanish?
No.
Well, better get started, amigo.
No, I'm terrible with language. I can't hear it. But, you know, it's a great opportunity now for chefs. I mean, there's so many opportunities that we didn't have 25 years ago.
What would you suggest for breakfast for the listeners?
Coffee, man. That's what I have.
Coffee and a fistful of Advil. That's what I had.
Exactly.
Tom Colicchio. He's the owner and chef of Gramercy Tavern, and you're going to see him on Top Chef, the Bravo channel. It airs at 11 o'clock. What day is your show on, actually?
Wednesday night. It actually airs 11 o'clock this Wednesday after Project Runway, but after that, it'll be on its regular time at 10 o'clock on Wednesday night.
Outstanding. Thanks for giving us a call, Tom.
You're welcome. Take care.
Have a great day. There you go.